Take your Bibles, if you would, and let's open the Word of God this morning to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, and we're going to read verse 10. Luke 19 and verse 10. We've been in a series on Sunday morning entitled Words from God's Word. And I've just been using the alphabet as a guide. And our word this morning, I think there is someone at the door, Brother Chico. Our word for this morning is the word lost. And so when we get to that word, I want to do something new here. When we get to that word, I want you all to say it with me, all right? And so let's find it in the verse. Verse 19, Luke 19, 10. Have you found your place? Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. And we'll have prayer and we'll read that verse together. And then you help me on that word, the word lost, all right? Let's pray. Father, how we love you today and how we look to you as we come to the reading of your word. We just ask you to bless the word of God to our hearts this morning. We pray you'll speak to us as only you can. Apply the message to our lives, Lord. Give us direction and understanding of these things. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Luke 19, 10, just one verse. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was..." Very good. Let's do it one more time. "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Thank you. You may be seated. And I want to preach this morning on that word, the word lost. Jesus is speaking here about people. And when we look at this text, we understand that the Lord Jesus, at the heart of his life and ministry, and at the heart of the message of the Word of God, is the redemption of mankind. And so Jesus is revealing his purpose here in this verse. The reason why he came, the reason he died on the cross, the reason he was buried and rose again from the dead, is because he was seeking to save that which was lost. And I want you to think about that word lost. Being lost is a condition. And I want us to understand that this morning. Jesus is talking about people in this condition of being lost. So what does it mean to be lost? Well, the Bible uses this word, and I looked up the definition just to be clear. Webster's 1828, by the way, is a great dictionary to use for Bible words. Now, I've always encouraged and taught and recommended, if you're going to use a dictionary to understand the Bible, then make sure it is an old dictionary and not a new dictionary. And the reason for that is because our Bible was translated in early years. The King James was first translated in 1611. There were some edits after that. But we're talking about Old English. And because of that, there are some words. And by the way, the intended meaning of those words evolves over the years. I mean, it changes. And they used to write dictionaries based on the etymology of the word. That is, the actual meaning of the root word and its parts, its suffix, its prefix. They would study those parts of the word, and they would interpret the literal meaning. That is not how they write dictionaries today. When they write dictionaries today, they give you the definition that is commonly used, not the actual meaning of the word. When they write dictionaries today, they do a survey of the English language by talking to people, and they give you the definition according to what the word means to you, the people, how people use it. And that's fine, but that's not good for Bible study, because when we're studying the Bible, we want to know, what was God trying to say to us? What was the intended meaning? And so we want to go back, and we want to get the closest definition of the word as it was used in that time. That way we get a clear message of what God is trying to say. And so for this, I went back to Webster's 1828. If you have an old dictionary, it would probably be fine if it's not Webster's 1828. But newer dictionaries, you're going to find this as you compare them, that they are not always clear in the meaning. They don't always convey the meaning of Scripture. That's because words are used differently today than they were back then. So that's just a pro tip for you, all right, when it comes to Bible study. You'll benefit greatly by having an old dictionary. So Webster defines lost this way. The first definition was not able to find the right way or the place intended. So when you're not able to find the way, you're lost. That's kind of the definition of the word. It also means alienated, insensible, hardened beyond sensibility or recovery. In other words, an item can be lost. But also, a person can be lost when they harden themselves insensibly against the Lord. Pharaoh was a good example of that in the Bible, if you remember. He hardened his heart against God. All right? Let's go on to the next one. There was a third definition of this word, and that is not perceptible to the senses. Not visible. Not perceptible to the senses or not visible. You know, we say something is lost when we can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't find it. Like your keys get lost sometimes, right? And it doesn't mean that they no longer exist. It just means you don't know where they are and you can't see them or put your hands on them, readily. And so what do? You go on a hunt for those and you search for those. Well, that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus went on a hunt for mankind. Since the beginning of time, way back in the book of Genesis, if we use this side over here to represent the beginning, we would say that in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve in the garden, and we know they sinned. They fell into temptation, and they sinned. And the Bible says that that temptation and that sin plunged the entire human race into sin. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, so death by sin. It says that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Right? So what did we inherit? We inherited that sin nature, that desire and tendency to sin. And then we inherited the penalty that goes with that, and that's death. So that's Romans 5:12, if you want to look that up sometime. It's a little extra. But we're just talking about where it came from. Since that time, God has been on a quest to redeem His children. He's been wanting to seek and to save that which was lost. The human race was lost. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 3:15, most people look at that as a prophetic verse. When God told Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman, right, would come and stomp on the head of the serpent. That is a prophecy of Jesus, the one who would come, right, to be that sacrificial lamb that would take away the sin of the world and that would provide the forgiveness that is needed. And also, stomping on the head, would finally defeat Satan. Would finally end his rule. So Jesus is that one. When we pick up in Luke chapter 19, we are reading in the days of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now you and I, we actually live on this side, and we look back in time to the moment when Jesus came. All right? And so we understand that from the beginning, man has been lost. And then God took Israel through the sacrificial system to teach them about sin and to teach them about forgiveness and what God's requirements are. And what did that do? Paul said the law was our schoolmaster, bringing us to Christ. The law diagnosed us as guilty sinners in need of a Savior who cannot save ourselves. That's what the law taught us. Then Jesus came and He made that payment on the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. We just celebrated that for Easter. And now you and I live in present day times and we're encouraging people to look back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, the Bible describes anyone who doesn't know Jesus. I didn't say anyone who doesn't know about Jesus. I said anyone who doesn't know Him. The Bible describes them as being lost. They are still in that condition, that state of their sins. Jesus told the Pharisees in His day, if you don't believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. If you die in your sins, you will be lost forever. You will be permanently lost. Jesus came to bring you back to Him, to bring you back to God. Jesus came to be that bridge between us and the Lord, to offer forgiveness and cleansing. And He was talking about people in verse 10 when He said that He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible gives examples about lost things, showing us how important lost people are to God. The Bible gives the example of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one lost lamb, the lost sheep. And the Bible says he seeks until he finds it. Isn't that good? And the Bible tells us that God rejoices over that lost one who he finds and who brings home. And so I want you to know, if you're here and you're lost today, let Jesus find you. He'd be very happy about that. And you're in a place where we would be happy too. Let's talk about lost people this morning. First of all, I want you to know that lost people know where they want to go. Lost people know where they want to go. Now, have you ever been on a trip? You ever got lost? Have you ever been headed somewhere and you took a wrong turn? Or maybe you went too far. Maybe you missed your turn. You know, the thing about being lost is you don't realize sometimes you're lost. You know where you want to go, and you think you're headed there. Oh, well, we're going this way. You ever stopped to ask directions, and somebody tell you, well, you're headed the wrong way. You got to turn around. You got to go back. You got to do this or that. I know a fellow one time stopped and asked directions. He was out on church visitation. He's going to visit somebody who had been to the church before. And he stopped at a gas station and saw a man filling up his car with gas, and he went over to him and said, sir, I'm looking for this street right here, and I'm wondering, I'm not from around here. Could you tell me how to get there? And the man said, sure. He said, go down here to John's Farm, and you take a left. And he said, wait a minute. Sir, I don't know where John's Farm is. Could you give me a little more detail? And the man stopped for a minute, and he said, He said, you go down the road here, and he said, you go down to them goats. And when you get to the goats, you turn left. And he said, well, sir, wait a minute. I don't know anything about goats. He said, well, you can't get there from here. That's something. Hey, that's when you're really lost, right? When you can't get directions from here, you know you're in trouble. The problem is lost people know where they want to go, right? They know where they want to go. If you stopped and asked somebody today outside these four walls, I'm talking about people who don't know the Lord. The Bible says they're lost. You know, if you stop and ask somebody going home, or this afternoon, you stop in town somebody and you say, hey, if you were to die today, would you like to go to heaven? Well, of course, they're going to say, of course. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Right? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to do good. Everybody wants to be right. The problem is they want to go to heaven, but they're deceived about how to get there. It's part of the reason why they're lost. They know where they want to go, but they don't know how to get there. And by the way, do you know that's what makes you lost? When you don't know how to get there. You don't know how to get where you're going. It means you're lost. Okay, fellas, come on now. We got to admit, all right? We got to be willing sometimes to stop and ask directions. Unless you got a GPS with you or something. And by the way, you know, I know that GPS sometimes has taken me to places and says, you have arrived. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Something is wrong, right? We are not here. We are not there. And so even the GPS got lost. I'm telling you, that's pretty bad. Well, God never gets lost. His directions are always accurate. And the problem with lost people, they know they want to go to heaven, but they're deceived on how to get there. They don't know the way. I'm so thankful that God gave us directions. I'm so thankful that He gave us instructions. Look at Acts chapter 16. In verse 31, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You know, God is interested in saving all of us. And the Bible says He won't turn you away. Jesus said, whoso cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so all we have to do is come to Him. believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. Now, there are people who have good ideas, good intentions. But someone said once, the road to hell is going to be paved with good intentions. And certainly it is. Have you heard people say, hey, one day I'm going to get right with God. Don't worry. One day I'm going to get saved. One day I'm going to live for the Lord. One day I'm going to take my family to church. One day. Well, you tell them that day's coming. Friend day. We want to invite them to church. That's in a couple of weeks, right? We want to get the word out. We want to tell them. And we want to get them to come. See if we can cash in on that one day. Good intentions won't get you saved. Good intentions won't get you to heaven. Right? It's Jesus who gets you to heaven. People are deceived about how to get there. You know, some people think, well, if I just go to church once in a while, you know, Christmas and Easter and, you know, days like that, important days, if I just go once in a while, give God a little nod, you know, everything will be okay. The problem is that's not in the Bible. Some people think, well, you know, if I just kind of do just enough good works, you know, to kind of outweigh my bad ones, you know. If I do more good than bad, well, then I got a shot. You know, maybe it'll work. No, nope. There's no heavenly scale like that. And there's no scale tipping that's going to happen in heaven. God's not going to put your bad works on one side and your good on the other. The Bible says God is going to stand in judgment. He's going to open the books and He's going to read you back the works as they are written. Ooh, what a day. Well, they're deceived on how to get there. And you know, all these ideas about doing good and being religious and going to church. And by the way, you can join every church in town and still die and go to hell. Church membership won't get you saved. Why? Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say go join the church. Those who join the church should be people who have already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been saved and they've been baptized biblically. Now they join the church, not in order to get to heaven, but because they are going. You sign up, you get involved. Being a member of a church means that you're on God's team. It means you're ready to play and serve and score for Jesus. And we should all be busy about doing that. Well, there's two verses in the Bible that say the exact same thing. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16, verse 25, they both say the same thing. They say, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, there's death and there's disappointment at the end. Why? Because you have taken a wrong turn. There is a way which seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen, that's why you can't just follow your heart. Your heart's not going to lead you to heaven. That's why you can't follow your feelings. Right? Because Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? You don't know where your heart's going to lead you. 9 times out of 10, it'd probably be somewhere you don't want to go. Isn't that what they say? Sin took me farther than I wanted to go, cost me more than I wanted to pay, and kept me longer than I wanted to stay. Certainly it does. We can't wing it, folks, when it comes to heaven. This is too important. We can't just hope so, maybe so, think so. Why? Well, because when you die and stand before God in judgment, it's all going to be too late then. So if you're wrong, you have no chance to fix it. The devil would love for you to try that through your life and die that way in your sins, because then you would be forever lost. But that's not what Jesus wants. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross, to pay for your sins, so that He could offer you forgiveness and cleansing, the gift of God, which is eternal life. You see, lost people know where they want to go, right? The problem is, number two, lost people, they don't know the way. Now, like we said a moment ago, that's what makes you lost. When you don't know how to get where you want to go. They know where they want to go, but they don't know how to get there. They don't know the way. Look, if you don't believe me, The next time you go to the restaurant or Walmart or your neighborhood or wherever people are, just stop and start asking people, hey, man, listen, if I wanted to know for sure how to get to heaven, and I came and asked you, please tell me because I want to make sure I go there, what would you say? How would you? What do I have to do to go to heaven? And see what kind of answers people give you. Oh, listen, get your pen and pad out. It's going to be, listen, there's a lot of stuff they're going to tell you to do. And it's going to be crazy. And it doesn't matter what they say, this and this and this. When they get finished, I want you to repeat it back to them. Say, okay, now look, for sure now, for sure. If I do these three things, what you just told me, if I do this and this and this, then I'm for sure going to heaven, right? I mean, certainly. They'll say, well, you gotta live it, you know. They'll always add one. And what that tells you is they don't know for sure, right? And anything else they can think of, they're going to add it to the list because they're just trying, they're just hoping so, and they want to be as sure as you can be. And you know, folks, that might be all right if we didn't have a Bible. We'd all be guessing. But we do have a Bible. And they don't know the way to heaven, but we do. We know the way to heaven because God gave us the map. He gave us directions, right? And so right here, we can know the way. Look what John 14:6 says to us. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by doing good. No. But by going to church. Nope. He said, but by me. You see, friend, we know that Jesus is the way to heaven. It's not living a good life. It's not being a church member. It's not getting baptized. It's calling upon Jesus. It's believing on what he did on the cross, letting that be the payment of your sin and not anything you can do. You know, I like that hymn, Rock of Ages. It says, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. What do those words mean? It means I'm not trusting in anything that I can do to get me to heaven, but I'm only trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. That's what I'm trusting in to get me to heaven. That's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, we saw a minute ago, that's what it says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is the message of the Bible. It's the redemption of mankind. And Jesus came to provide that. Not only does John 14:6 tell us Jesus is the way, but Isaiah 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22, God said this, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. You know what? No one else can save you. You know who Jesus was? Jesus was God the Son in the flesh. He came to save us. And that's why when we put our trust in Him, we can go to heaven. Now, a lot of people get offended because Christianity teaches Jesus is the only way. And that is not meant to be exclusive. It is meant to be inclusive. Because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what? That includes everybody. We saw a moment ago that it's all the ends of the earth. Anyone can call on Jesus and be saved. But people get offended when we say that because if they're of another religion, they want to teach that salvation can come through their leader, Buddha, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Confucius, and on we could go, right? But salvation doesn't come through any of those people. All of them were but men. And one man cannot save another man because both are sinners. Jesus Christ is the only one who lived and died with no sin. The Bible says on the cross, He took our sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So Jesus traded our sinfulness, which He took upon Himself, for His righteousness, which He gives to us. the moment that we believe in Him and trust Him as our Savior. So lost people don't know this. They don't know the way. And it's up to you and I to make sure they have the information. Jesus said, I am the way. God said, look unto me and be ye saved, for there's none else. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, a great verse here. Last week we talked about knowing that you're saved. These things have I written, verse 13, that you may know that you have eternal life. What were the things? Well, this is one of them right here, 1 John 5, 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Eternal life is in Jesus Christ. And so when you accept Him, you get eternal life. The Bible says eternal life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So when you receive Christ, you get eternal life. The Bible says this life is in His Son. That's because Jesus is the author. He's the giver of this life. He died on the cross to pay for it. No one else has the authority to give this but Jesus. You know, if I were to go to the store today and if I were to buy a gift, when I make that purchase, I get that receipt. You know what that does? That authorizes me now as the new owner of that product. I can walk out of the store with that. And when I get home, guess what? I can give it to whoever I want. Why? Because at that point, it's mine. I own it. And I have the authority then to transfer that ownership to anybody that I please. And Jesus purchased the authority to give eternal life on the cross. And He offers it to whosoever will. And you and I can come and we can receive eternal life from Jesus Christ. Salvation this morning, getting to the destination, we're talking about heaven, is as easy as ABC this morning. A, admit. Admit you're a sinner. Admit you need Jesus. Admit you can't get there on your own. B, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the one that came to pay for your sins. He made a payment that God will accept. He died in your place. Put your faith and trust in Him and what He did to save you. And C is confess. Or you could say call. Call on the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. And that's a good promise. Number one, lost people know where they want to go. Number two, lost people don't know the way. Number three, lost people are lost because they don't know where they stand. Have you ever traveled? There's two things you want to do when you're planning a trip or when you're trying to find your way. The first thing you want to know is where you're going, where you're supposed to be going. All right? That's the first thing you want to know. But you can't really figure that out until you find the second thing. And the second thing is so important. When you look at that map again, you need to see not only where you want to go, but you need to understand, according to that map, where you are now. And until you understand where you are, you can't figure out how to get where you're going. This is a big problem. It's one of the big reasons why lost people stay lost. They're lost. And people talk to them and invite them and share with them and pray for them and all of that. But I'm going to tell you this. They're never going to be found until first they realize where they are. I heard somebody say it like this. You can't get saved until you first get lost. If a lost person doesn't understand they're lost, if they're not willing to admit that they don't know the way, and they need help finding it. They can't get there on their own. The problem is, they don't know where they stand. And this is crucial for helping someone come to Christ and be saved. We don't want anybody to be lost. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So here it is. This is the important part that someone who's lost has to understand. They have to understand where they stand with God. You know, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, if you're taking notes, that's Hebrews 9:27. I wasn't planning on sharing that verse, but write it down. You can look it up. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So death's not the end. You're going to face God in judgment one day. And the Bible says when you do, you're going to stand before God, and the books are going to be opened. And it says another book is going to be opened, which is the book of life, and the dead are going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So what's God going to find when you stand before Him in judgment as a lost person, and He opens the books, and He begins to read back your works? What is God going to find? I'm going to show you. Romans 3:23 tells us what God is going to find. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So when God reads back the works, the life works of a lost person, He's going to see that there's sin. Now, I know when we talk to people who are lost about sin, they always want to smooth it over, and they always want to change the subject and talk about something good they did. Yeah, but you know, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and all of that kind of stuff. But the Bible says something else very interesting. Back a few verses, Romans 3, verse 19. It tells us something that the law is going to show to us. Look at it. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be" what? "Stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God." You know, this is what people who are outside of the Bible, outside of church, this is what they don't understand. When God opens those books on judgment day, you're not going to pull any wool over His eyes. He's going to have the evidence and the goods. God is going to show you the law you broke, and He's going to tell you exactly when you broke it. And the Bible says you're going to be guilty. That's the verdict. It says their mouths will be stopped. You know, people who stand at that judgment, they're going to be speechless. I mean, there's not going to be any defense or backtalking or explaining or shifting. You know what guilty is? Guilty is guilty. You heard the old expression, guilty as sin? Yeah, that's what they're going to be. Standing before God at the great white throne judgment. And that's when He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." Why? Because lost people don't understand that they're sinners. And that in front of a holy God, they're going to be guilty. They don't understand what John 3:18 is all about. Now, people have heard of John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But the Bible goes on from there. And look what it says in John 3:18. It says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Why? Because He made the payment of your sin. That's why. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." Why? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The only thing that can wash away your sins, and you've not believed in it. You've not accepted Him as your Savior. You're still trying to do it on your own. You're still trying to be good enough. God said, condemned. Hey, listen, they're not going to be condemned. They're condemned already. They're already sinners. They're already guilty. They're already condemned. But at the judgment, these things are going to be read and pronounced. It's going to be official. The problem is the chance, the opportunity for them to fix it is over. It's too late. It's too late. And the problem with most lost people is they're going to wait one day too late. Too late. Hey, guess what? We can't be good enough to get to heaven. We can't erase our sins. There is no good work. There's no amount of good works that you can do to erase the bad ones. Good works don't erase bad works. They just appear on the ledger side by side. You did something bad, you did something good, but the good does not erase the bad. Have you ever noticed that's why when you offend somebody and then you buy them a Coke, they might not even want it. They're still mad over what you did. And you know, with some people, the little Coke they buy, well, that's the only I'm sorry you're going to get, because they ain't never going to say those words, I'm sorry, right? But what does it take to forgive the hurt? You got to confess. It takes, I'm sorry. And you know, God's the same way. Jesus Christ, the Bible says He loves the whole world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Listen, God loves everybody. Jesus died for everybody. Well, that means everybody's going to heaven, right? Wrong. Because God is waiting for you to realize you're guilty and say, I'm sorry. Lord, I need You. Lord, I can't fix this. I need what You did on the cross to fix me. That's when salvation occurs. But until then, they're already condemned. Lost people don't know where they stand. They stand as sinners. They stand guilty. They stand condemned already. But it doesn't have to be that way. Romans 10:13 says it can be different. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Oh, I don't think y'all are awake. Listen, we gotta know this so we can tell people, right? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Oh, I like that. Not sinner, not guilty, not condemned, saved. Hey, if you know Jesus this morning, that's you. That's where you stand. You stand forgiven. You stand redeemed. You stand before God saved. Isn't that good? Now we need to take that and share it with somebody. Because there's people who are lost. They're not saved. And by the way, that very word, saved, implies that there's something bad that you got saved from. That's sin. Sin and the punishment for sin, which eventually is hell. Separation from God for all eternity. We're saved from that through Jesus Christ. And you know what? That is why Jesus came. Look at verse 10 again. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know what? He's talking about us. I'm saved this morning. And I want you to know, if you're here and you're saved, it's not because we found Him. He found me. Hey, you know what? I wasn't even looking for Him back then. I didn't know to look for Him. But thank God, His Word was shared with me because somebody cared enough to open a Bible and show me where I stood with God so that I could understand how to find my way through Jesus Christ to get where I so desperately wanted to go, and that's heaven. Do you know somebody who's lost this morning? Now you know how to show them the way. If you're here this morning and you're lost, then you know the way. It sure be a shame for you to leave lost. I want to invite you today to call on the name of the Lord so you can be saved and leave here a new creature in Christ Jesus, having trusted Jesus Christ and His payment for your sins. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, how we love You today. How we thank You, Lord, for the clarity of Your Word and how for the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, You didn't make it hard for us to come. You didn't make it hard for us to be saved. It's so simple. All we have to do is believe and trust in You, call upon You for salvation. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that's never done that, that today they would be willing to call upon You. Lord, I pray that if there's friends and family and co-workers and others that we know that are lost, Lord, I pray You'd help us to be willing to share the truth with them about how they too can be saved. What an important message. Lord, we thank You for bringing it to us. Help us share it with others. In Jesus' name we pray.